let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody, coast to coast, This Week in America. Back with us on the program is Penny McCoy to talk about her new book, The Holy Exchange, A Vision, The Wealth of the World Transferred to the Righteous for the Healing of the Peoples and the Nations. The Holy Exchange is a vision that Penny had over a couple of decades concerning the period of time we are entering. It's all about the wealth of the world system in every sphere and its evil influencers being transferred to those who follow in close relationship and covenant with the living Lord God Almighty for the healing of the peoples and the nations. Penny went from being a world champion alpine ski racer at the age of 16 to experiencing heartbreak in the following Olympics. This heartbreak affected every area of her life, causing wrong choices stemming from an identity of brokenness. Penny is currently a vibrant vessel, fulfilling her God-given destiny by sharing God the Father's heart of life, freedom, and healing through several avenues. Penny has no earthly acclaim as an author, rather believes she is a vessel in the pen of a writer ready for the Spirit of God, the true author, authoring the heart of God the Father, who is full of justice, goodness, unfailing love, and never-ending mercy and faithfulness. Back with us on the program, always a pleasure, is Penny McCoy, author of The Holy Exchange, A Vision. Penny, welcome back to the program. It's great to see you again.
It's great to see you again, too. I was looking forward to this.
Well, it is always good. And if you go to YouTube, you'll see the video version of our interview. I'm saying I can see Penny. I can actually a radio show, but I can see her because of the video version that will be posted on YouTube. So much to talk about in the book you've just written, The Holy Exchange, A Vision. So much in the title, The Holy Exchange, A Vision, The Wealth of the World Transferred to the Righteous for the Healing of the Peoples and the Nations. Tell us about the title.
Yes. Well, first of all, before we get started, we have to understand that the wealth of the world is far more than money, that it reaches high and it reaches low into every power base, into every facet of society and influence. Touching every part of life, such as faith and religion, family, sports, media and the arts, entertainment, beauty and values, medicine, invention, right? Government and law, yes. Education, banking and financial systems, business and economics, imagination. It touches the way we speak, the way we think, the way we do relationship until there's nothing untouched. And what we have to realize in this is each of these places of influence, so to speak, are kingdoms in their own way. They have their own set of rules and their own set of governing. And for the most part, all these kingdoms, including the way we speak and do things, has been ruled or appears to be being ruled by the wicked and dark side. But in the vision, what I saw was a great exchange where the kingdoms of darkness and evil were defeated and overturned by the kingdom of God and light. In the holy exchange, I saw wherever the wicked rule, all their places of influence, God will transfer that influence and the power base into the hands of those who do not bow to the temptations of evil and the world system. Rather, they will be the people that have their faith strong. They have been faithful and remain faithful and obedient to what God has created them to do at all costs. It doesn't matter the cost to them. These, in essence, really are the remnant people of God who overcome because they love God more than anything and serve him with a pure heart. The exchange is holy because God is in charge of it. He's really doing this exchange by his Spirit, and he's doing it for the redemption and the healing and the restoration of the worlds, setting up his kingdom on earth and in the heavens and underneath the earth. And nothing will be untouched by the hands of God's justice and balancing of the scale.
This is such a fascinating and important book. I find it interesting, the dedications for your books. It's always fun to look and see who is in the dedication. It's the same for your book, The Holy Exchange. Tell us who you are dedicating this book to.
Well, first of all, I dedicate it to the faithful remnant I just was speaking about. Yes. Those God's faithful people who are really the warriors that are summoned to be leaders in fulfilling this exchange. They are the ones that are called to battle, called to be an uprising on earth in order to take the, take back the ground the enemy has stolen from God's children. With that, I desire to honor those forces, those armies of people that will join them and fight beside them, those people that hold firm to their inheritance, their godly inheritance, and continually establish godly legacy. Then last, I dedicate the Holy Exchange to the righteousness and justice of God that establishes God's throne. And when you think about God's throne, it's the place where he rules and governs. And whether anybody thinks so or not, his place of rulership and governing is far, 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 far above the rule and government and control of man. And he's going to show himself in that way. I mean, after all, really, who in the heavens or the earth or underneath the ground can compare to God, the living God? Honestly, in the council of the holy ones, which is far greater than the council of man that sits and tries to devise and overthrow God and his people, God is the one greatly to be praised, not man and the evilness of man, rather. So in this, we have to understand and know that we know that God's justice is the justice that reigns supreme, that it's bigger than any of us, and that none of us can escape it. And it has a law that says that when the thief is caught, he or she or nation or kingdom or whatever has to repay seven times what they have stolen, even if it takes their home or their nation or their kingdom from them. And so many times, I think for the most part, people think of the thief stealing something, they think of only money, but really, or material possessions. But it's far more than that, because the enemy and the thief steals dreams and destinies and hearts and minds and souls and body and strength and hope and life and, you know. And in the end, I really sum it up in dedicating my book to God's righteous laws that always win, and his promises that are yes and amen, and to the holy exchange, his holy exchange, that will take place.
Penny's book, The Holy Exchange, is available at stratton-press.com. It's available at Amazon, all the usual places. If you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you can click on directly, get information on this book and others that Penny has written. You have a desire, a prayer for the Holy Exchange. Can you share that with us, please?
Yes. My desire and prayer is simple. It is that the Holy Exchange is a display of God's greatness, and that it honors the Lord's mandate to establish God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And along with that, I desire that the Holy Exchange honors the voice and the visitation and the revelation of God individually and globally.
We've talked about your other books, and I'll list those as we go through the program. We've talked about those. I notice you have a running theme in each of the books. Can you tell us about that concerning this book, the new book, The Holy Exchange?
Sure. Well, the theme I always seem to be moved by incorporates identity and vision and purpose in order to fulfill God-breathed destiny. In The Holy Exchange, I focus on personal destiny and then call attention to how personal destiny fits into corporate and global destiny. I really challenge the reader to find their place in what God is doing in the Holy Exchange. What part do they play? I mean, that's important. We have to know who we are.
Yes.
And
yes.
In all this, it's really important to remember that no one else can do our part like we can. God has called us forward. He's put it in our DNA. He's anointed us and empowered us to do what he's called us to do. And nobody else will have the same life or power if they try to do what we're supposed to do. And then it is vital to remain true to our authentic selves and not compare ourselves to another. I mean, just this week I was comparing myself to someone else and I went, no, you know, you can't do that. And we will need to be disciplined and faithful and honed into God's voice as never before, heeding and obeying his moment-by-moment instructions. And not figuring anything out, but just simply trusting him for the outcome in order to inherit the land he has for us in this and do mighty exploits for his kingdom that he has for us to do.
I know before you wrote The Holy Exchange, you questioned what could be important enough about a vision that you saw that would urge you to share it with the world. Tell us about that, because this is so important and crucial to The Holy Exchange.
Yes. Well, actually, I think about myself and me as a person and a writer. I live in relative obscurity as an athlete. I don't or didn't, but I'm not really important to the learned or the scholared, and I don't have a grand, you know, place in the world of authors. So I really had to ask myself, what value would it be for me to write about a vision that I had or saw? And then I went, what would it really matter to anyone if I wrote a book about a vision that I saw? But in that, it's like the Spirit of God was still just pushing me, urging me to write this. And so during Pentecost, actually it was Pentecost, the day of Pentecost last year, 2020, I just opened my Bible and it fell open to the book of Obadiah. And I looked down and it was like 1.5 pages, and I'm going, what? So I looked down again, sure enough, it's still 1.5 pages. And I'm going, why does the book of Obadiah with 1.5 pages qualify to be in the greatest book ever written? You know, and then I was urged to read on. I read the first sentence, and the first sentence said, this is the vision the sovereign Lord revealed to Obadiah concerning the land of Edom. And I went, wow, the vision. This was his vision. It was 1.5 pages long, you know.
Yes.
And then I kept reading, and God, you know, nudging me to read on. And I read on to the final chapter heading, and it went, and the heading was Edom destroyed, Israel restored. And then I went, wow, could the Holy Exchange be a type and shadow of Obadiah's vision? And if it is, I have to write it down. I just have to.
Well, you talk about that, a type and shadow of Obadiah's vision. Elaborate on that for just a second. I think you've covered it, but just sort of tie it up for us.
Okay. So I realized Obadiah's vision carried a simple theme, much like my vision, The Holy Exchange that God gave me. It seemed to be the Old Testament version of the Holy Exchange. So in the land of Edom at that time, wickedness had gotten out of hand. The injustice reigned, where really justice needed to take the place of that justice and wickedness of the day. And it's important to know that God's people had an inheritance they had to redeem, same as now. All these are the same as now. And God's purpose had to be restored for his word and his promises to his children to flourish. Now, the key to this is it was time for the wicked to be brought down, much like today. And the righteous, it was time for the righteous to possess the land so God's plan could be carried forward and carried out.
Penny McCoy is our guest on the program. Time always goes by so quickly. So much valuable, important, life-changing information in Penny's book. Penny McCoy. McCoy is M-C-C-O-Y, if you're Googling, stratton-press.com. Great place to buy the book, Amazon. Get all that information. Of course, go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You make it very clear in this book, The Holy Exchange, that wealth is not just money and fame. And you touched on that briefly before. Please touch on that again, because that is so important.
Sure. Can I just say something about the last question?
Sure.
First, please. Okay, so in Obadiah's vision, I realized in the moment where I realized all this stuff, I realized the Holy Exchange was being called forward through me, you know, like Obadiah. And then that reminded me of a quote by Mark Twain. And this quote is awesome. He said, "It ain't those parts of the Bible that I can't understand that bother me. It is the parts of the Bible I do understand." So that, you know, and God needs us to know our identities in that. And he as God's children, and he wants us to understand our value to him, because he needs us in this. So going back to the wealth is not just money and fame. First of all, true wealth is, first of all, becoming who God created you to become, and then doing what he created you to do, fulfilling God-given destiny. True wealth is really understanding how you individually fit into God's eternal plan. It's not all about the material part of life, but that's what people think. But here's the key. However, in this holy exchange period, this era of justice, I call, it will take those people who are called to vast amounts of wealth to be the distribution centers to all of us others so we can fulfill our part. True wealth is really understanding your purpose is not about you or just for you. It's not yours alone, but it's for those you may not know or you may not ever see, like the homeless on the street and the orphan and the beaten and the sacrificed children, those that are forgotten and cheated, the elderly in their loneliness, the people in their deception, and the world, really, in its despair and confusion.
Penny McCoy, really? Well, yes, it's so important, and we sort of lose this money and fame, and we realize that it's much more than that, isn't it?
It is. Real wealth has riches that last forever, and when your last breath is taken, you pass these riches to your children as an inheritance, and it forms within the generation. It really is a legacy and becomes a dynasty of its own in the end.
Penny's book is The Holy Exchange, and it's interesting. You didn't just have a vision and then write a book. There were decades until that vision was completed in your heart and your person before you wrote the book. Explain how that happened, because as I say, it's decades. It wasn't like you woke up and you wrote a book.
Right. So initially I was worshiping in my truck on a mountaintop in the year of 2000. And I was just worshiping God, singing and praying and what have you. And then I saw this vision, the first part of it. And then, but it wasn't until Pentecost of 2020, last year when I was talking to you about it, that I literally saw the heavens and the earth and underneath the ground and the seas and every power base and influence in society come into an alignment and position for this holy exchange to be fulfilled and to be able to happen. One thing I did, I wrote a book initially years and years ago when I first had that, you know, the first part of it. And really, I thought it was a masterpiece, but it was horrible. It was incomplete and it was poorly written because I didn't let the fullness of time have its preparation.
Yes.
You know, and in this, you and I are no different. Nobody's different. When we try to rush things outside of the time and season of God, then we don't allow that fullness of God's time for the true purpose and destiny to unfold. So I just want to share that so people feel it's okay to take time, to let God take his time when he's doing something in your life.
I want to go back, and I think you touched on this. How and where does the vision for the book, The Holy Exchange, initially take place? I want to make sure I understand this correctly. With your truck?
No, well, it started there, but when I started to have the vision, to have the vision itself took place in two different houses, okay? The first one I saw was a palace, a huge palace. And it was void of life and hope and family and love. There are no family pictures on the walls, nothing, okay? It was a palace where a rich couple lived, only one couple. And they were rich in the sense of monetary gain and successful business ventures, and the power base of the world resided there. But the palace itself was cold and eerie, and it had a long driveway made of stone up to it. And I opened the doors, and it was huge corridors like a museum, and they were marble floors. It was just all marble and crystal chandeliers. And when I put my foot on the floor, my step echoed from one end to the other. And it was so eerie because not another sound was heard, not another sound of a person or anything. But I saw that in one of the wings, far wings of that palace, was a woman alone and drinking. And then the man of the home was in a strip club, and he only lived in her mind. That's where he lived. And the other house was warm. Really, this house was a home. It was a home where laughter and dreams filled the rooms, and the man of the house dug ditches and the like for a living. The woman, I saw her cooking up a storm and loving her family. I saw the children romping in the cornfields and playing in the yard. And they waited until the dad of the family came home so they could all have dinner together. And after dinner, they all did their homework around the kitchen table, and the dad helped each of them. So in that home, sleep went well. You know, they had satisfaction and work was well done.
Yes.
And the satisfaction snored in the rafters. I saw satisfaction in the rafters, and peace and fulfillment lived in that home. Now, the mood of the palace was strictly dictated by the world's values and its failed system, because the world system is a failed system. Now, the house that was a home, it was sheltered in God's love and in his presence. And I saw that God's wisdom built that home. And I saw that his understanding established an atmosphere of heaven and love in that home. And I saw that his knowledge filled the rooms with rare and beautiful treasure. Really, the wealth of the world and the true wealth in the world were distinguished and defined in those two places.
Fascinating. And boy, the time is going by so quickly. The Holy Exchange is the book by Penny McCoy, Stratton-Press.com, Amazon, all the usual places. The Holy Exchange vision continued to grow in all areas of society. Talk about that, because it's important for us to be able to recognize that.
Yes. So it started in the home and family, and then it branched out. And the first thing it branched out, what I saw was sports and sports heroes. And the first thing I saw was a baseball net. So that's where it branched out first. And then to movie stars and law enforcement. Then it went on to movies and TV episodes, directors, producers, all these people. And then it went to top of the chart tunes of the day, and to Congress and Supreme Court and more, to the judicial system, to financial and banking systems, media and the arts, like I said before, beauty and values, to education and to government, and on until every power base and influence of society was given to the righteous. And when it was where the evil ruled and where there was wickedness and the evil ruled. And God then put that power base into the hands of the good, and they transformed it into life and opportunity. And literally they transformed it into hope and joy and destiny fulfilled. And ultimately it became the transfer of the worlds. And it was done all for the glory of God, not for the glory of man. And as an example, the mansions of the evil elite that God showed me in this exchange were transformed into shelters for the poor and orphanages for the abused children and shelters for beaten women and safe havens for those that were enslaved to the system. And then the vision kept continuing to every facet in industry and on to every intent and motive and action of our world on earth and in the heavens and underneath the ground and beyond.
Boy, time has gone, but before we end up the program, I want you to maybe sort of leave a final message concerning your book, The Holy Exchange. And if there is an excerpt that you would like to read to us before we go, I wish we had several hours to talk about this, but you wrote the book and we'll read the book and get all of the important information you have in the book, The Holy Exchange. Any thoughts on what you want to leave with the listener? And then we'll leave with an excerpt, if you would, please.
Okay. Sure. First, this vision came from God, and I submit that anything from God is worthy of looking into and should be taken seriously, anything given to you or me or anyone else. And second, this is a type of prophetic book where it gives us a glimpse of what the world could and should look like. The world should thrive with new discoveries and what have you that betters everyone's lives.
Yes.
Third, I believe what the Lord showed me 20 years ago and then came to a head on Pentecost of 2020 is actually the world the Lord has always intended us to live in. And then fourth, the kingdoms of the world will become the kingdoms of our true and living God through those who live and move and have their being in his destiny and plans for their lives. And most important, this will take dedication and hard work and discipline. And your identity will have to be secure within the framework of who you truly are in God's design and God's purpose. So I urge everyone to immerse their imagination in the hope of the exchange. Literally, find yourself there, because everyone has a part. And discover who you are in the midst of it. It will be glorious. Really, I do believe this is the era of God's justice without a doubt. And I like Proverbs 21:5. It says it best. When justice is done, it is joy to the righteous, the upright, in right standing with God. But to evildoers, it is dismay, calamity, and ruin. And I do declare that this is the time for God's justice to be done, where the upright, those good and worthy people and people that honor who God created them to be and what he created them to do, I declare that this is so. And then, so the excerpt I would like to read is just a paragraph, and it says, compared to God, the wicked in themselves are foolish and without the knowledge that brings life, restoration, and redemption. They make idols, but the idols will disgrace their makers, for they are frauds. They have no life or power in them. Their idols will prove worthless during the season of the holy exchange. They will prove to be lies and unworthy substitutes for the real. However, they will fight with vicious attacks until they are taken down. But the living God will prove he is not an idol. He is the creator of everything that exists, including his children, who are his own special possession that he died for 2,021 years ago. The Lord Almighty is his name.
That is from Penny's new book, The Holy Exchange of Vision. Penny's other books, by the way, and we've talked about them on the program. They're in the archives here, and you'll find them in all of the podcasting channels that we're on. I Am Amidst You Now, God the Father, Healing My Truth, and The Ultimate Victory. You'll find those at Amazon as well. This new book available at stratton-press.com, Amazon, all of the usual places. Penny, the time always goes by too quickly, but I always learn something, so that's always good. It's a pleasure to have you back with us on the program.
Great to be back. I really enjoy you. Appreciate you.
Well, thank you. And keep writing, and we'll keep having things to talk about. You're just touching the surface, so I highly recommend grabbing your copy of The Holy Exchange of Vision. Again, available at stratton-press.com and at Amazon as well. Penny, thank you so much. We will stay in touch, hopefully do this again. Thank you for being back with us.
Thank you, and have a wonderful day.
It is a pleasure to have Penny with us always. The book, The Holy Exchange of Vision. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. We're back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.